And God, I mean, to understand what is the sacraments mean, we have to go back a little bit, starting from Adam. How was the relation between God and Adam? So they were together in the paradise. There was no commandment that God gave to Adam except only one, just to figure out his obedience to him. And the rest, everything was just a relation and a deep relation between God and Adam. So God was dwelling inside and in the heart of Adam. So speaks to him face to face. And this is the goal of the sacrament. So the aim is to get back human being to the same situation of Adam when he was in the paradise. So, in other words, the goal of the sacrament is to bring individuals into the church, active members in the body of Christ. Active members in the body of Christ. So as the church is there, so the Holy Spirit is there. And as the Holy Spirit is there, so the church also there. And the fullness of God's grace. So this is the aim and the goal of the sacraments, why God gave us this. Of course, God also gave this sacrament. We use some visible materials, so we receive through it the invisible grace. Because we are human being, we are human being. We can't see the grace, but we feel it. But still, we have to see something. We have to feel it. We have to touch it, because as we are spirit and body, this is human being. So still we have to use visible materials. Like, for example, we use water in baptism, we use oil in the unction of sick, we use the bread and wine in the Eucharist. So something you can touch, something you can see, something you can feel, is to help you to get through the full meaning of the sacraments. The sacraments also is not something that you practice without full understanding of its meaning, and it's not something separated from the Bible or the life of Christ or so. So the sacrament, through it we manifest the Bible teachings. And through it, we have the full expression of the living Bible, the living Bible. So, for example, through the sacraments, there is part of educational part in every sacrament. So, for example, in the baptism, before we baptize someone, he has to go through an educational birth. And even in the rite of the sacrament itself, first they denied the work of Satan, and then they confess Jesus Christ as Lord, and then they go through the rite of the baptism. And in every sacrament there is an educational part in that. And also through the sacraments we express the Bible teachings. I gave you one example, especially the Old Testament. We have to leave the Bible. In the Old Testament, God gave Moses a commandment. He said to him, when somebody commits a sin, let him bring a lamb, and then let him stand before Aaron the priest, and then he confesses his sin, and then Aaron will offer the lamb as a sacrifice, so his sin will be forgiven. This is, you read it in the Old Testament, this was one of the commandments to Moses. But still, this we express it in a way, in a sacramental way, in the sacrament. So everybody will come in front of the priest, we commit sin, so we come in front of the priest and we confess our sin in front of him, and then he will offer the sacrifice in the Holy Mass, and this is the Lamb, our Lord Jesus Christ, and then our sin would be forgiven. So through the sacraments we get to know a better idea about the Bible and the Bible teachings. And also in each sacrament we use biblical language. Of course we can use any other language, like, I don't mean by language French or English or Coptic or Arabic, no, it's a biblical language. Whether it is a full text from the Bible or a verse from the Bible that we use it in the sacrament, or whether it is an expression, biblical expression, or a word from the Bible. For example, Amen is a word, it's a biblical word. Alleluia, it's a biblical word. Blessed is, so it's a biblical word. So we use even the expressions, so even the language of the sacraments is biblical. And also the hymns of the sacraments that we use, also it's biblical. So through the sacraments as a whole, there is an expression of the living Bible in our life. So we get to know the Bible better through the sacraments. That's why you have to do some more efforts to do the links, to know the links between the Bible and the sacraments that you are going through. For example, if you are attending the Mass, as today, His Grace Bishop Moses, I just explained for us what's going on in the Mass. So another step you have to do is just to try to know the links between what is the words that we use in the Bible, in the sacraments, and link it to the Bible. That would be a good study for you. For example, we have the verses in the portion of consecration. This is the same words of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Last Supper. It's the same in the Bible. He took the chalice and mixed it and blessed it and then gave it to his disciples. This is the same verses. So there is a great link between the Bible and the sacraments that we do. So the first point was the relation with God. The second point was the Bible as the main source of the liturgical meetings in our church. The third point is Christ Himself. Christ Himself at the goal and the center of the sacrament. We give Christ's teachings, Christ's life through the sacraments and through all the feasts and anniversaries that we do in our church. For example, we celebrate the Christmas of Christ, and then we celebrate the Annunciation, we celebrate the death of Christ, we celebrate His resurrection, and then we celebrate the Pentecost, which is the descending of the Holy Spirit. So in each of our celebrations of the feasts, we express the life of Jesus Christ. So it is a kind of memorizing the life of Jesus Christ, and also teachings of Jesus Christ. So he is the core, and also he is the value, he is the center, he is the goal of all our liturgical prayers. Also the sacrament is the only way for salvation and eternal life. The only way for salvation and eternal life. There is three main points in this issue. The first one, the liturgy of initiation. Liturgy of initiation, which is the baptism and the chrism. The holy baptism and the chrism. At the debate happened between Jesus and Nicodemus about the baptism, how to be born again. Jesus said, unless you're born again, you never enter the kingdom of heaven. So this is the door, this is the rebirth again. So we get the grace of adoption. God is adopting us, he is renewing us, recreating us. We have the rebirth from above, and this is the door. The first thing that any man has to go through, this is the baptism. That's why, and this baptism is not something that you go through and it's finished. No, never. It's a continual process. It's a continuous process, because the grace of adoption, the grace of reborn again, it's something you already have it, so nobody will take it from you. So it's there inside you. The second point is the chrism. And also it's very essential. It's very essential in our life. And this is out of this world the name Christians come from. Because we are all Christian because we already went through the chrism because of Christ also. So through the rebirth we get the adoption of being Son of God, and then through the chrism the Holy Spirit dwells in us. And when the Spirit dwells in you, so the Spirit will teach you how to confess Jesus Christ as God, as a Son of God. The Spirit will guide you, will teach you every word that Jesus said. The Spirit will intercede on behalf of you, because we are very weak and we don't know how to pray. So the Spirit himself intercede on behalf of us. And also the Spirit will give you wisdom. The Spirit will let you understand what is the full meaning and the fullness of Christ. And this is the gift of the Holy Chrism, the Spirit dwelling inside you. So you can't be a good Christian, you can't be a child of God unless you go through both. And that's why our church is very wise. So we used to baptize the child, and then on the same day, the same moment, we give him the chrism, the holy miron. So it's very important. So the Spirit will dwell inside you, give you to confess Jesus Christ as a Son of God, to teach you how to pray, give you wisdom, strengthen you, guiding you. This is the Spirit. So this is the liturgy of initiation. So this is the first thing that you have to go through, and it's continuous with you through all your life. and also in eternity. And the Spirit dwells inside you, so you will lead, it will, He will lead you to eternity. The second is the liturgy of the Eucharist. The Eucharist is, we call it, the sacrament of the sacraments, because it's the center, of all the sacraments, because it's the most important point in our life. At the baptism, with the first door that we enter, and also through the sacrament of the Eucharist, Jesus Christ Himself will abide in us and we will abide in Him. That is why it's the fullness of the presence of Jesus Christ, the fullness of the church itself, it's in the Eucharist. Because no other liturgy in our church can express the presence of Jesus Christ as the liturgy expresses it, liturgy of the Eucharist. That is why we have to give great attention, to this sacrament, and give it a very important rule in our life. Take care of it. Just come to nourish yourself, come to abide in Christ, and let Christ abide in you. This is the promise that He said. Who eats my body and drinks my body will my blood will abide in me, and I will abide in him. I will give him eternal life. This is a promise. So get the benefit out of this promise of Jesus Christ through full faith of that this is the body, and the real body and blood of Christ, and then get the preparation, the right preparations for your own self, and then get through the Holy Communion. The third liturgical prayers or sacraments is the liturgy of life, the liturgy of sanctification of time, the liturgy of sanctification of life. This is what we call the sacrament of penance, repentance and confession, the sacrament of unction of sick, the sacrament of matrimony, and the sacrament of the holy order. The first one is the repentance and confession, the penance. This is how to sanctify your time. This is sanctification of your whole life, sanctification of yourself. Because as you are a member in the body of Christ, but still we are human being, we used to fall in sin, and this sacrament, it opened the door for you again to reborn again from Jesus Christ, to reborn again as a son of God. Because out of your sinful deed, usually you lose your belonging to Christ, and then you need to purify yourself. Because it's not good enough as a child for Christ, a member in the body of Christ, and go through something that it doesn't match with this body. So it would never fit the body. You would be as a strange member. Would be as a strange member to get in the body of Christ, the oneness of Christ. Although God is merciful and He's accepting everybody, and through this sacrament we come to Christ to sanctify our body. Of course, when you are sick, the unction of sick also to sanctify your time. It's not for the sick person only, but also to confess your sin, to confess your sin, and then the unction of sin of the sick will be done to you. So it's not that anybody just gets sick and then say, okay, I will just call the priest, and then, as the Bible said, they will pray for us and anoint us with the holy oil, and then if they are sick, they will be healed. But it's still, they have to confess their sin. They have to confess their sin. So this is also a mean of purification, a mean of sanctification of your life. So it's another step that's helping you to come nearer to Christ. Also, matrimony is also a sanctification of life. Also, it's a sanctification of life, because this is a sacred life together, through which we express our love to Christ, and Christ also show us that He loves us. So He gave us the gift of being one with Him, and to give us this gift to share with Him in the maintenance of mankind. And this is also continuous through all your life. So every day you remind yourself that this is a sanctification, this is a matrimony sacrament, this is a sacred life that you have to keep it all your life. Of course, holy order is to give to someone to work the full, to dedicate himself fully to Christ. So he worked, he gave the Holy Spirit, they gave the authority to work the work of Christ. And this is also a sanctification of time. So as we sanctify our lifetime here, this is the step to sanctify our life for the eternity. So when we go through all these kind of activities, so we will see that we are sanctifying our time. But also, it's still, we have some basic things in the sacraments, sharing the sacrament, the rites of the church. We have to get to know it and to understand it clearly. For example, in all the rites, for example, we use the censing, the burning of the incense. As we burn the incense and the sacraments, so we are lifting our heart to Christ. We are giving our life as a sacrifice for Christ, for Him. So it's a simple. This is from the beginning, that God Himself commanded Moses to offer this incense. So, and then it has a meaning, symbols in all the sacraments. So it's sacrificing oneself to Christ, and also lifting up his heart to Christ as the smoke then of the incense comes up and up till we reach to eternity. And also in all the sacraments we use candles, light, expressing that Jesus Himself is the light of our life, and we should be light for the whole world, as He said to us. He is the light, and we also are the light of the world. Signing the cross, all the sacraments we share in that, signing the cross, it's very important also that we express through the sacrament that there is no salvation unless through the cross. So we express and we confess that Jesus Christ is a Redeemer and a Savior. Another point in the sacraments, they all share together procession. Procession. It's all the sacraments, we have a dynamic movement in it, so you feel that the priest is moving. In this sacrament, it's a dynamic movement toward eternal life. And also, in these sacraments and our prayers, we use sometimes to stand up, sometimes to sit down, sometimes to kneel. This is to share, to let every part of the whole man share in the activities and to come through and be an active member, the whole body of human being. But sometimes we have to participate in this sacrament, so sometimes we feel it's boring because we don't understand it, and this is the real problem in our life. We don't have the benefit out of these sacraments because we don't go through it the right way. So first of all, you have to see this sacrament. See what is the symbols in this sacrament. The second, taste it, see, and then taste it, and then to know the full meanings of this sacrament you are going through. For example, if you are going for confession, you have to understand the full meaning of the confession and how you should prepare yourself for this confession, and then participation. So see, taste, understand, participate. This is the four steps that you have to go through. Also, there is two factors which is very important: the depth and continuity of practicing and participating in these sacraments. Sometimes you feel that you can't go through. I'll give you an example. If it happened you have to burn a piece of wood, and then in the beginning you find a lot of smoke comes out and may it hurt your eyes, and the less heat because you can't use it. But then after a while less of smoke and much of heat produce. This is the same thing. Wait for a while till you get through. Wait for a while till you become one with this spirit inside you, and then try to act with this spirit and react the same way that the spirit is telling you. Because in the beginning of participating in a sacrament, especially those of lifetime, in the beginning you will feel you are not fully committing yourself to these sacraments. Sometimes out of habit, so sometimes out of this is a social activities, you are giving yourself to these sacraments, to attend the church or to do whatever, to get the communion or to confess or to do so and so and so. It's a kind of routine, it's a kind of a habit that you are doing this. And this was the fault of the Pharisees. This was the fault of the Pharisees. They were committing themselves to the rites of the law, but not to the spirit of the law. Christianity is not a philosophy. Christianity is life, and you have to live with the spirit. You have to fully understand what is Christianity. Sometimes we committing ourselves to a very narrow idea of having this sacrament in our heart. But still we don't understand the spirit of this. And we having the same idea as Simon the Pharisees when Jesus came to his house, and then a lady came weeping and confessing her sins and before Christ. She applied most of the sacrament in Simon's house. She confessed her sins. She prayed to Jesus, asking for forgiveness, and then she received forgiveness. She turned the house of Simon into a church. But he himself, who was supposed to have Christ in his house, he never get anything of the benefit of having Christ in his heart. Sometimes we have the same attitude. We are receiving the sacraments, yet we receive none of its benefit because of our foolishness. We don't have the power to commit ourselves fully to understand and to go deep inside the spirit of the sacrament. So try to understand why. Number one, try to feel it and go deep. Try to participate in this. Try to prepare yourself the right preparation for each of the sacrament. For example, this sacrament of the Holy Eucharist with a long preparation for your own self. The church is going a longer preparation for itself of a lot of prayers, but also you have to go the same way of preparation. Repentance, believe, commit yourself to Christ. And believe one thing, that we are not worthy to have Christ in us. But out of His mercy, out of His love, He gave us His body to heal us, to heal the spirit, to give us eternity. So it's not that we deserve it, but it's still that's His mercy. We are not worthy, but this is His mercy. Try to understand this. Humbleness is also a very important point of having this sacrament. To react with, you are not worthy to receive any of this sacrament, because it's the Holy Spirit is dwelling inside your heart. But still, it's not because of you, but because of the Spirit. But as Sayyidina said yesterday, it's a reaction, it's a fellowship between you and the Holy Spirit. Actually now it's 6 o'clock, so it's time to for this, and I thank you very much for your cooperation, and we thank Sayyidina for his kindness also. Thank you all. Is any of you have any question or so for a couple of minutes? I think it's not. I think you are very hungry. not hungry? Yes. A question, yes.
The sacrament is always supposed to be applied by a priest, right? So how come in the days of Pope Peter the First, one woman, she baptized her children because she was afraid they will die, and God accepted this baptism and he refused that he would be baptized again?
First of all, if First of all, concerning baptism, there is different type of baptism. The normal baptism that through the priest that and immerse people into the water. Also, shedding of blood is a baptism. To shed your blood in the name of Christ, those martyrs, that they were not Christian, and yet they died for the sake of Christ, they are accepted as Christian. That's out of the real understanding of the meaning of the baptism. The baptism means to die with Christ. To die with Christ. We are buried with Christ, and then we rise again with Christ to be a new person, to reborn again. So when they died with Christ, so بيقولوا لي معاد العشاء الساعة 6 والساعة دلوقتي 6 خلاص. This is the point concerning this. Actually, it's an exception because she felt that her two boys was gonna die and they were in a critical situation, so through the shed of blood, so she cut her hands and she signed the sign of Christ. It's an exception. She meant by the shedding of blood as death with Christ, and then they were in a critical situation, they are almost dying. That's why God accepted, because she meant it. But this is not the rule of the church, and also this is not the rule of this and the spirit of the Bible, because God himself, Christ himself, he breathed into the faces of his disciples and said to them, go and preach into the whole nation and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So he gave this right to his disciple. That's why, and the disciple gave it to the church. So it's only for the church, but this was an exception, and it was an emergency case. It's how come they were going to die. So I thank you very much, and I think you're hungry enough. Okay, thank you.